We're going to be in a few places this morning. We've got four Gospels. We're going to read all five of them, no? Just start out with two verses. You can turn to them or you might be able to read them here. John 18, 28. There we go. John 18, 28 tells us, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall," talking about the Jews, the priests, "lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." And then in Matthew 27, 22, it says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be crucified." I want to ask you today, what will you do with Jesus? Let's pray. Amen. We know the setting. It's today, Easter is a time that we look back. We look back on when Jesus was crucified. We look back at the empty tomb. But today, I want to take a look back at a man who had a choice to make. And he was a powerful man. And he was put in a position of, he thought he was in the position of being a judge over Jesus Christ. He thought that he was in control of things. And you're going to find he really didn't want anything to do with what was going on. And he had a choice between man's praise or God's praise. He had a choice between what he knew in his heart was going on in front of him and what he was worried about with his standing with man. That man's name is Pilate. The Jews, Judas has turned over Jesus to the Caiaphas, the high priest, and to the Sanhedrin. And they've beaten Jesus. And they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't kill him. So they take him to the Romans. They turn him over to the Romans so that the Romans would judge him and kill him and do their bidding for them. I want to give you a little bit of the setting here, if you'll follow along. It said, "When Pontius Pilate left Rome for Palestine, the emperor Tiberius gave him a special gold ring. It identified Pilate as an amicus Caesaris, or friend of the Caesar. To keep that ring, Pilate allowed Christ, a man he knew was innocent, to be crucified. Pilate's ancestors were Roman nobles of the equestrian order. He had served a tour of duty in Syria as an administrative military tribune with the 12th Legion and had earned the reputation of being a tough commander. His wife, Claudia Procula, is said to have been the granddaughter of Caesar Augustus, so Pilate had the highest connections in Rome. As a procurator of Judea, Pilate carried a heavy responsibility. Judea was the capital of the 7 million Jews who lived in the Roman Empire. 7% of its entire population, small though it was, Judea commanded the trade routes and lines of communication between Syria and Egypt. Moreover, Judea was the only Roman outpost that prevented Parthia from moving in and blocking Roman access to Egypt. Rome depended on Egypt for her grain, nor could Egypt itself be allowed to fall into hostile hands. The ships that carried their precious cargoes of wheat to Rome must never be endangered, so to be governor of Judea was a trust of some magnitude. Pilate was certainly not going to allow some local messiah to imperil his position as friend of Caesar and as guardian of Rome's Egyptian gate. He caved in to political expediency as he saw it. He had no other choice. If he let Jesus go, he would incur the wrath of the Sanhedrin. And if he let Jesus go, he would in effect be an endorsement of Christ's claim to be the king of the Jews, which would leave him in bad standing with Caesar. So we lay out the setting for Pilate's dilemma. Pilate's in a position of great power and protecting the trade routes and trying to make everyone happy, trying to keep the Jews from revolting. So Pilate's unhappy face peers out at us from each of the four Gospels. We look back. We see that no matter how badly he wanted to ignore Jesus and have nothing to do with it, he was forced to face eternal issues and make a personal decision regarding Jesus Christ. He had a good general knowledge of the facts. You can be sure that whatever was going on in his area, he knew about it. If someone rose from the dead like Lazarus, Pilate would have known about it. If the 5,000 were fed, the rumors probably got back to Pilate. Pilate knew that there were miracles taking place. He knew that the blind were seeing again. I think he had spies everywhere. I think he knew that all this was going on. And here, for the first time, they've brought Jesus to him, and he's standing in front of him. But Pilate has his political future in the back of his head. He can't just let Jesus go. He has the pressure of the world on his shoulders. There came a time in his life, however, when he was forced to make a personal investigation into Christ's claims. And this led him to his own personal crisis, as he expressed in his desperate question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" The answer he received from the crowd was no help. It was a decision that he would have to make on his own, just as we all do. Even though Pilate was put in judgment over Jesus by the Jews, it was becoming more and more apparent to him that the decision he would make would be the one that he didn't want to make. He was confronted by Jesus, who in calm innocence gave him no way out. Even though everything had been planned by God from the beginning of time, Pilate was faced with making his own decision. All of us face this timeless challenge at some point in our life. And all of us respond in one way or another. There are many people out in the church, out of the church, that have responded differently than those that are in the church. There are some people that are in the church that responded differently, or maybe even the same way as Pilate. We make a choice. We either cry, "Crucify him," or we crown him as our king. There's no middle ground, as Pilate soon found out. We see that how Pilate feared the claims of Christ. When he was faced with Jesus, he was confronted in a few places. The first one is his personal life. If you're following along, look over in John chapter 19. The holiness of Jesus exposed his own wickedness. Most people consider themselves to be a good person, but when they stand before a holy God, their sin is exposed. And we've talked about that. You know, do you consider yourself to be a good person? Oh, yes, I do. Well, you ever lied? You ever told? You ever stolen? We've been through that, right? When you stand up against God's law, all men are guilty. Everyone's told a lie. That's the basic one. Everyone's stolen something or taken something that wasn't theirs. Everyone's coveted that new car on the lot. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. With Pilate as he stands before him, look in verse number 9. "And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou?" I don't know, I think I'm getting ahead. Yeah, here we go. Y'all may have to keep up on your own. Verse number 1. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands and saith unto him, Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate had talked to him and he found no fault in Jesus Christ. Three times he declared that he found no fault in Jesus Christ. Pilate mocked Jesus and had him scourged, even though he had declared him innocent. And when he spoke with Jesus, Jesus gave him no justification for what he'd done. After turning Jesus over to the high priest, Judas threw the money back at the priest, saying, I've betrayed innocent blood. And Pilate had Jesus scourged before taking him before the Jews and saying, I find no fault in him. In verses 1 through 5, we see that Pilate had scourged Jesus and taken him out before them, and he had beaten an innocent man. He says, I find no fault in him, yet he beat him. Yet he tortured him by putting a crown of thorns on his head. He was hoping to put the Jews at ease, the ones that wanted him punished, the ones that wanted him put to death. He was hoping that that would be enough for them to let him go. Mm-hmm. And then it said unto him, then came Jesus forth, verse 5, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law. So Pilate was trying to turn him over to the Jews. He was trying to put that decision on them. And he said, You take him, you crucify him. And they say, We have a law. They can't kill him. The Jews answered him, said, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now Pilate hears this. Think about Pilate's mindset. He's a Roman. He's a procurator. The Romans would go to the temples, and they would worship the many gods and worship the different gods. And here Pilate had heard about the miracles that took place. He heard about the dead coming to life, the blind seeing, and he heard all these miracles, and this man was standing in front of him. And over in chapter 18, Pilate had talked to him. Let's look at that. Over in chapter 18, I know I'm all over the place, but y'all are going to have to sit with me. Chapter number 18. Verse number 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Mm-hmm. And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? He's asking him, What? Why did they bring you here? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Verse 36, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate gets discouraged. He says, What is truth? And that's when he has Jesus beaten and taken out. He said, Pilate saith unto him, verse 38, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault in him. Mm-hmm. Pilate didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And here Jesus is talking about another kingdom that's not of this world. He said, But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Pilate doesn't want to kill him. So he scourges Jesus, and he's an innocent man, and he brings him out. But they still want him killed. They say, We have a law that he should be killed because he made himself the Son of God. Then look what it says in the next verse over in chapter 19, verse number 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Can you imagine? You've got Jesus in front of you. And let's just talk a second. There is something about the Spirit bearing witness with the Spirit. When you're around a fellow Christian, or when you're around someone that's pretending to be a Christian, there's just something. There's some kind of difference, and you can tell. I don't know if I'm alone on that. can't always tell that. You know, you walk closer to the Lord, you kind of feel a little more than not. And I know you can't write this down in a book, but when you're around someone that truly loves the Lord, their talk and their speech is a lot different than when you're around somebody that's around drinking, partying, whatever, doesn't think about the Lord until they find out that, oh, you're a Sunday school teacher, or oh, you're a preacher. Then all of a sudden, the whole language changes. The whole, somewhere from deep in the recesses, their whole language changes. And all of a sudden, oh, bless you, Pastor. You know, you're a pastor. Oh, bless you. And, I mean, things just change. But here, Pilate is standing before the Son of God. He's standing before Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how much more powerful Jesus Christ standing in front of you, looking you in the eye? Can you imagine that pull? And Pilate's standing before him, and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And then the Jews say, we have a law that he should die. It's talking about back in Leviticus 24. But he said, we have a law that he should die because he made himself the Son of God. No, he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And Pilate hears that, and he kind of wants to hedge his bets, I think. He became the more afraid. What if this is the Son of God? We don't know what his understanding of God was. He may have been thinking of Zeus. He may have been thinking of some other God. But what if this is the Son of God? I've heard about the miracles that he does. And there's something about this man. There's just something about Jesus. Not afraid. Said then Pilate saith unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Let's see. Verse number eight. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, listen to this. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus knows. Jesus knows why he's there. This plan was laid out from the very first time in the Garden of Eden. This plan was laid out in eternity. Back when Eve took the fruit, when she passed it on to Adam, when God cursed them, cursed the ground for their sake, when he said, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. He threw them out of the garden. And from then on, sin passed all the way down. Adam's sin passed all the way down to us until Jesus Christ came. He said, for this cause came I into the world. He came into this world for one reason, for one purpose only. He came into this world to die. He was here in front of Pilate for the very reason that he came into this world. And Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? You know, sometimes we think we're in control. God's in control. Amen. And he stands before him. Don't you know that I have the power to crucify? Look what Jesus says to him. He's already worried that he might be the Son of God. Jesus answered and said, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. He didn't say that Pilate had no sin in this. Pilate had an innocent man beaten. But he said, he that had delivered me had the greater sin. He's talking about Caiaphas there. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. What a battle was going on in that man's head. What a conflict must have been going on in that man's head. And if you're sitting out there and you're saying, how does this apply to me? If you're just thinking that, if you're thinking, oh, I know this, Keith, I know this. Every morning you get up and you make decisions. Every morning you wake up and you make a decision. Crucify him or release him. Follow Jesus or don't follow Jesus. It's black and white. The world today wants to give you gray lines everywhere. They want to tell you, oh, this is fuzzy, this is blurred. Use this bathroom, use that bathroom. You know, this is enough to get me put in jail in Canada. Every day the world wants to blur the lines, but you make a decision when you step out the door. When you wake up in the morning, pray or don't pray. And, you know, it's the sin of omission a lot of times. It's just, you know, you have the sin of omission, the sin of commission. You commit sin, You break God's law, you commit sin, or you omit from doing what God said. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a tough deal. That's the price of our liberty. We draw closer to God or we get further away. It's not, oh, I'm saved, so I get to just ride the skateboard all around and do whatever I want. There's a time. There will be a judgment seat of Christ when those works are tried, the rewards. We talked about that Wednesday night if you weren't here. George, pull it out of me. But he's good like that. But every day you make a decision. You may be where Pilate is, where you're worried about your job or where you're worried about this or you're worried about that. Pilate had all these politics in his mind. He was balancing all of this. He was between Caesar and he was between the Jews. The Jews were upset and he didn't want Caesar upset. He was there to do a job. And Jesus didn't let him off the hook. He didn't say that he didn't have sin. I don't even know where I am here. Y'all asked for an outline, you got one. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, and this is where the conflict comes in, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." So now he has this conflict. If he sends Jesus to the cross to be crucified, he's sending an innocent man. Not only does he have that conflict, he's also got some family conflict. His wife tells him, she says, "Have nothing to do with this man." She said, "Because I've been troubled." And so he has this conflict with his wife. He has this conflict with his country. He has this conflict with the Jews. So how did Pilate fight the claims of Christ? What did Pilate do? He tried to do a few things. Number one, he tried to discuss the issue. Over in John 18:33-38, where we read, he was talking to Jesus and he was trying to, "Don't you have anything to answer? Can't you just give me something so I can get you off the hook here?" And Jesus answered him nothing, it said in the other Gospels. He gave him nothing. Matthew 27:13, then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. He tried to discredit the issue. When he had Jesus beaten and bloodied, when he put the crown on his head, when he brought him out in front of the Jews, this man that had so many people follow him, he made him weak. He beat him. You know, the scourge that took place, by them turning him over to the Romans, remember Paul had said, I've received 39 stripes, save one. They didn't have that. The Romans didn't have that limit. So when Jesus was beaten, he was beaten beyond that point. And he brings him out, a bloody mess, with that crown of thorns on his head. And he says, here's your king. And that he would have thought that the Jews would just say, well, that's good enough. There's nothing left of him. He's been discredited in front of everybody. But it didn't work. He tried to disclaim the issue. Over in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" He tried to put the decision in their court. He didn't want to make the decision. He tried to hand it over to them. He said, they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. So he tried to disown the issue. And that's the last one. I think I skipped one. That's what y'all get. Jesus, Pilate, ultimately, he washes his hands in water and says, I'm clean of this man. So, you know what the Jews said? His blood be on us and our children. Pilate turns him over and he writes the death certificate, the death warrant. It allows him to be crucified. And we know the story. We heard it in the song. That's why I love that song so much. To step back in time to see that take place. Hopefully y'all can ignore the singing. But he turns him over and Pilate watches him go. They beat him. It's doubtful he had any sympathy for that. They put him on the cross. And then the Jews come to him because the Jews want to be right religiously. And they say, we want to be able to take them down by nightfall. We can't have bodies hanging up there. We put this body on the cross. We can't have it hanging up there. So Pilate says, so be it. He sent the Roman soldier out there to do what they do. Men are out there on the cross. They're struggling to stand and breathe. Fall, I've heard it described before. They go out there and they break their legs so they can no longer stand. And it just chokes off the air in the lungs. They do the one thief on the one side. They do the other thief on the other side. And they get to Jesus. And he's already gone. They put a spear in his side. Now comes the water and the blood. But he's gone. He's not there. He gave up his own spirit. Now, a man usually lasted 3 days on a cross. So the soldiers come back and report to Pilate. He's gone. And then Joseph of Arimathea comes to him and begs the body of Jesus. He says, take him. He puts him in the grave. The Jews come to him and say, he said that he would rise again in 3 days. We want to put a watch there. Pilate says, so be it. It's like he doesn't care anymore. It's like he just, whatever. I've washed my hands of it. This is how you want to handle it? Handle it. And they put the watch in front of the tomb. But we know that after 3 days, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. It's good news for us. But for Pilate, who was afraid when he found that he claimed to be the Son of God, imagine what he went through going back over that. And the reason I bring up Pilate is because there's so many people that have approached the throne of God, that have approached the cross, but they walk away. And they go on about their business. Like Pilate, they try to discuss it away. Well, what about this? What about the man over here? What about this or that? They try to discredit him. Oh, that never happened, or we found this, or what about this? The Bible's wrong here. They try to disown it. I haven't made a decision. Well, you just did, just as Pilate did. Pilate disowned it, but he turned him back over to the Jews. He had him crucified. Pilate asked, what is truth? When truth was staring him in the face, Jesus had just said the day before, I am the truth. Face to face with truth incarnate, Pilate sold him for a lie. The procurator persuaded himself that it was in his own best interest to stay in the good graces of Caiaphas. He would do nothing that the suspicious old tyrant back in Rome might interpret as treason. So Pilate signed the death warrant. Pilate soon had an idea of who Jesus really was. A crucified man, often lingered on for days, and we talked about that. Jesus was more than just an innocent man that Pilate sent to be crucified. The centurion who was standing by, he gave his own opinion. He said, this was the Son of God. And maybe that centurion was bold enough to repeat those words to Pilate, but Pilate had denied him, and to the end of his days he would carry with him the memory of the eyes that looked into his and read his very soul. Maybe when, as one tradition tells us, he was a lonely outcast, banished from power, he belatedly did crown Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My question for you today as we stand, what will you do with Jesus? Has there been a time in your life when you realize you can't work your way to heaven and all your good works, they're not going to get you there? You've already lied. You've already stolen. Jesus made it even harder when he said, it is written, thou shalt not commit adultery. He said, I say unto you, whosoever looketh after a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery already in his heart. It's a higher standard. One day, standing before God on the day of judgment, will you be guilty or innocent? Would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? As she plays, if you understand that standing before a just God, he can't let sin into heaven. You understand that you can't get in. But Jesus made a way. He said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the gift isn't yours until you accept it. Won't you come forward today and accept?